As we think of the fruit of the Spirit tonight, we pray, Lord, for the work of the Spirit to bring your word to life, to write it on our hearts, to shape our lives. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So it'd be really helpful if you haven't already got it open. I think most of you probably have. Ephesians chapter 2 and verses 11 onwards. Do you remember the experience? I'm sure it's all happened to us at one time. Of a young child, as a young child, suddenly becoming separated from your parents. Lost. Perhaps you were in a shop. A lot of you are nodding. Some of you, childhood was a long way away back there, but you still remember it. You were at the shop, you were at the zoo, you were on a crowded beach. One moment you were with your parents, but you got distracted by something interesting. You wandered off a bit. Perhaps you thought the person just behind you was your mum, and then you reached out to sort of grab their leg, and shock, horror. They're a total stranger. Your mother, your father, nowhere to be seen. You have become separated, lost, alone. Did that moment last for just a few seconds? Some minutes? Maybe some of you here got lost for hours. Did you run around frantically? Did you burst into tears immediately? Mummy, where are you? I think of my children. They've grown up, four children. They've barely known a moment, really, where Ellen and I haven't been close to them. Even when our oldest has been at school, it's only just at Stopcross down the road, just a phone call away. They really haven't known a moment where they haven't been able to cry out, Mummy, and we'll be there for them. Always known the safety, the security of family around them, never being alone. But the moment will come where somehow they get separated. Where we have the panic, where's Joseph? Mummy, Daddy, where are you? The theme of separation is a major one in the passage that we have just had read to us, that Roman read to us, Ephesians chapter 2. Paul writing to Christians, Gentile Christians in Ephesus, is reminding them of their past. And he says, remember that once you were separated from God. Verse 12. Remember that at that time in the past, you were separate from Christ, excluded from citizenship in Israel, foreigners to the covenants of the promise, without hope and without God in the world. You were lost, says Paul. Not just for a moment, but permanently. You were separated, without hope and without God, cut off from your Creator, alone in the world. You were separated, of course, we know this, because of your sin. And as Gentiles, that's the ones he's writing to, they had no sacrificial system, no temple given to them by God, no way for them, even symbolically, to approach the living God. They were lost and alone, separated from God. But the separation that Paul describes here is not only a separation of humanity from God, it's also a separation of humanity from humanity. And specifically in this case, the great separation between Jews and Gentiles, a division across which it was almost impossible to cross. Verse 12, you were excluded from citizenship in Israel. You were foreigners to the covenants of the promise. Verse 14, there was a separation through a dividing wall of hostility. That there was a division leading to a hostility that existed for centuries. And of course, in the Middle East and other parts of the world, it still exists today. Separation of humanity from humanity, Jew from Gentile. That's the specific separation that Paul is talking about. But of course, it's an example of a greater human tendency, of humans to erect barriers between themselves, to separate, to make a division between us and them. We create divisions for all sorts of reasons, for social, for religious, for racial reasons, just look around the world out there, as well as because of all sorts of other squabbles. Look around, families divided, neighbours at war, churches with great splits down the middle. A life of separation is what Ephesians chapter 2 describes. Not just separated from God, but separated from each other. The theme of this passage is peace. The theme of this sermon is peace. That's the fruit of the Spirit coming towards the end of, well, right at the end of August now, aren't we? We've been looking at the different fruits of the Spirit over August. And the fruit of the Spirit tonight that we're looking at is peace. And if you were here when we began the series back at the end of July, we looked at Galatians chapter 5. In fact, if you take your page with Ephesians 2 and turn back one page, you will come to Galatians chapter 5. And we said that the context for Paul's great list, the fruit of the Spirit that he spells out, the ninefold fruit of the Spirit, the context for that was church conflict. Look at verse 15 of Ephesians chapter 5. If you bite and devour each other, watch out, or you will be destroyed by each other. Verse 26. Let us not become conceited, provoking and envying each other. It's in this context that Paul writes of the fruit of the Spirit. Love, joy, patience, forbearance, kindness, goodness, gentleness, self-control, and peace. That's tonight. Now, one way, of course, to keep peace is to separate. In fact, to enforce separation. I know this as a parent. Sometimes in the heat of an argument between siblings, separation is a good tactic. Joseph, you go there. Clara, you stay here. Stop arguing. You stand in the middle. Be quiet. Be at peace. In parts of the world, this has become a necessary approach. There are peacekeepers. Their job is to keep warring factions at bay. In some countries, this separation has literally been set in stone. If you visit Israel today, I know some of you have, you will find an 8-meter-high concrete wall, a separation wall, keeping apart Jews and Palestinians. I've seen it up close, and it doesn't look very peaceful. As walls go up, separation is entrenched, and hostility grows. May keep a fragile peace, but it's not a Christian one. Back to our passage. Turn back from Galatians 5 to Ephesians 2. In this context of separation and conflict, this passage is about peace. And I want to say two really simple things from Ephesians chapter 2. The first is this. Christ died to bring us to God. Very simple. Verse 12, once, says Paul, you were separated from God without hope and without God in the world. You were far away. But verse 13, but now, in Christ Jesus, you who once were far away have been brought near by the blood of Christ. Christ died to bring us to God. That's the gospel. Through the death of Christ on the cross, when he took our sins away from us, where he carried my sins himself, the great barrier between me and God has been removed. The enmity that has existed is gone. It's been taken away, and I am able to approach God. In the language of the passage, I've been reconciled. Verse 15, his purpose is to create one humanity out of two, making peace in one body, to reconcile a broken relationship, restored. I have been reunited with my Creator. I am at peace with God. I'm at peace with God. Christ died to bring us to God. It's the gospel. But this is also the gospel. Christ died to bring us together. Christ died to bring us together. This passage, we've said, is not just about the separation between humanity and God, but between humanity and humanity. The great division between Jew and Gentile. And in that context, Paul says, verse 14, "For he himself is our peace. He has made the two groups one and has destroyed the barrier, the dividing wall of hostility, by setting aside in his flesh the law with its commands and regulations." His purpose was to create in himself one new humanity out of the two. Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us together. In the Jewish temple at Jerusalem, when you entered it in the first century, the first part of the temple that you came across, I'm sure you know this, was the court of the Gentiles. Anyone could go in, Jew or Gentile, and they could go into that court, and you were lower down, and you could look up and beyond, and you could see what was going on further in. But as you went further in, there was a wall. I understand it wasn't a great high wall, it was actually quite a low wall, but it marked the end of the court of the Gentiles. And beyond this, only Jews could pass. And there was a notice, or several notices all along, and they read this: "Trespassers will be executed." A barrier. A wall. Verse 14, dividing wall of hostility. And Paul says that through the cross, Jesus Christ has destroyed that wall, taken it down, torn it down, because now there is only one way to God. All are equal. There are no differences, Jew or Gentile, man or woman, slave or free. Verse 17, he came and preached peace to you who were far away, and peace to those who were near. For through him we both have access to the Father by one Spirit. Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us together. Now, before I get us to hold hands and have a group hug, don't worry, I'm not going to do that. Because you're worried about your sweaty hands. We didn't put any deodorant on earlier. No group hugs or holding hands. But it were to do that, to celebrate our togetherness. I just want to be realistic here about the church. We are all very different. Different personalities, different preferences, different opinions, different ways of looking at things. We get on better with certain types of people than others. We fall out more easily with certain types of people than others. The Paul who wrote Ephesians chapter 2 about peace is the same Paul who in Acts chapter 15 had such a sharp disagreement with Barnabas that they parted company. They went their separate ways. Remember that? They fell out over whether or not to take John Mark with them. Paul didn't want to, and Barnabas did. There will always be difference and disagreement. There will be personalities and preferences within the church. But in this we were called to live at peace. Christ died to bring us to God. Christ died to bring us together. He has destroyed the wall of hostility. And who are we to build up new walls or invent new divisions? Because of the work of Christ, we are at peace with God and we are at peace with one another. There is, of course, a third strand to Christian peace. Peace with God, peace with one another, and thirdly, peace within ourselves. An inner peace, if you like. The peace that Will mentioned earlier, the peace from Philippians chapter 4, the peace of God that passes all understanding, that guards our hearts and our minds. I've chosen not to speak on that third strand tonight. Maybe you think that's a shame, because you could do with some inner peace, couldn't we all? But I decided not to, because firstly, I think it's right that inner peace, peace within ourselves, flows out of peace with God and peace with one another. It's hard to be at peace with yourself if you are at odds with God and others. So I think it flows out of the first two. And secondly, as I said, the context of Galatians and the fruit of the Spirit is conflict in community and in the church. Now, the fruits of the Spirit are all relational. They're about getting along with the people you share your life with. Love and joy and peace and patience and kindness and goodness and faithfulness and gentleness and self-control. And that's how I'd like to finish. Do you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? We've been looking at, I don't know which, I doubt anyone's been here for every single one of these sermons on the nine fruit of the Spirit. But you may have heard, well, I hope you've heard this one, you may have heard a few others. Do you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? Do it in community. With the people around you in your life. The ones you get on with easily and the ones you find difficult. Do you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? Do it in community. Don't go on retreat. I'm a big fan of retreats. There's something incredibly healthy and helpful and peaceful about getting it away, getting away from it all, getting away from others, focusing on me and God, kind of focusing on priorities, what it is that he has called us to, what's essential in life, what is unnecessary. There's something healthy and helpful. I would almost say there's something necessary at times about going away on retreat. But the fruit of the Spirit is grown over breakfast with the people you live with, or at meetings with difficult colleagues, or over the fence with your neighbour, or at school with the person you don't like, or who doesn't like you. Earlier in the summer, I was on holiday with my family, and for the first week, we were in Gloucestershire, there for a week. And just a top tip for family holidays, don't go very far away. It's easier if you're closer. And this certainly came, we benefited from it, because early on in the week, Ellen and I realised that we'd forgotten something important back in Newbury. It wasn't a child. We'd had them all with us. But we'd forgotten something important. And it was only an hour away, because we're in Gloucestershire and Newbury's not very far away. So I got up early one morning, it was 6:30 in the morning, and I drove back to Newbury. And then picked up the thing and came back. And it was a beautiful summer's morning. I haven't had very many of those, but this was a beautiful summer's morning. There was no traffic on the road, really. I had the radio on. And I was filled with such a sense of contentment and happiness. I drove along. I thought, I love my wife. She's so lovely. I love my children. I love my children. They're so wonderful. They bring me such joy. I love God. I'm so happy. And I was in this mood. It kind of got better and better as I drove there and back. And then I arrived back at our holiday house. It was about 8:45 a.m. And Ellen, my wife, she wasn't so wonderfully warmly disposed to me as she had been my thoughts in the car on my own. She'd been looking after four children on her own for about 2 hours. And my children, they were little monsters. They were demanding and whining and arguing all the time. And it was a kind of crushing disappointment with the wonderful high of this little retreat oasis of my own in the car. I'm really not exaggerating, it's exactly what happened. In the car, I had been full of such love and joy and peace. And now I had to actually work out how to live at peace with these difficult human beings that God was forcing me to go on holiday with. And now I had to learn to practice love and patience and kindness and goodness and gentleness and self-control. Do you want to grow in the fruit of the Spirit? Do you want to grow in peace? Find some people, ideally some difficult people, which is not hard because we're all difficult, and live with them, walk with them, sit next to them, serve with them, and practice love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, gentleness, faithfulness, and self-control. Let's pray. So, Lord God, we pray for the work, the fruit of your Spirit within our lives and within our life as a church. Help us to live by him. Help us to keep in step with him. And form in us his wonderful fruit for your glory.